Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to have to take a shot. We're going to have to shoot this gun. Eric Maldonado with Be Broadcasting here in Kalispell with us at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins. Normally, when I get to the 9:35 break, halfway through the show, it's like, okay, time to go get a shot of coffee here to get us through the rest of the hour. But today, we're going to take a different kind of shot. I've been hearing about these Bernas over the place.
You misunderstood me. We were going to shoot...
You're going to shoot
Aaron Flint.
You're going to shoot me with it. Oh, okay. All right.
Well, later on in the hour.
You know, when I was at the SHOT Show, I got shot. They had this virtual reality simulator. Did you see the video when I got shot in the arm with that thing?
They have one, Northwest Shooter, and way back in the day, I got an opportunity. They put it on your... And you fire your 9mm at the screen, and then when the crook on the screen fires at you, it automatically, if it hits you, it shocks you and it drops you to the ground.
It is
an experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to shooting this Berna, but yeah, we're here at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins, and we've got our gracious host here. Steve Rice is the owner of Mountain Pass Safes and Coins. We've got open microphones here if you want to come down and join us for Montana Talks Live from Kalispell. Steve, what a great shop you got here. Tell us about your business.
Hey, thank you first for coming in, spending the morning with us here. But yeah, we're a specialty shop. We specialize in safes primarily. We move, deliver, and install safes, but we've got the biggest selection of safes in the Flathead Valley. We've got about 65 available right now. But we're also a precious metal dealer. We deal mostly with bullion coins for our customers, but we buy and sell. And, of course, as we've been talking about, we're the only premier Berna dealer in the area. So you can do in-store demos right here. We'll teach you how to use them. But I've got all the models in stock, and, you know, they're just an amazing tool to have for self-defense.
You know, I've heard Sean Hannity talk so much about the Berna over the years, but I've never actually seen one, never actually fired one. So it sounds like we're going to do just that here in about a half an hour.
We're going to fire one up. Yep, we've got several models here that you can choose from to try out. We've even got the M4 Mission rifle.
Ooh, nice.
That we'll have you light up there. Yep, it's 100-foot range with that one, and the pistols have a 60-foot range.
Very good. And we got some camo coffee here. If you want to take a shot of coffee, we've got some donuts from the spot. Crazy cool looking donuts over there. I even went and stole a bag of those chocolate covered espresso beans just to really fire things up here this morning. Yeah, well, it's so good to see you. What else do you want to tell folks about just the Flathead Valley and, well, really how important it is right now to keep your stuff safe? You know, given, you know, there's a lot of newcomers here to the state. There's, you know, still the, you know, criminal threat with TDA gangs and more. And sometimes they will target homes.
They will. You know, people come in, talk to me about, like, I don't own a gun. Why do I need a safe? Well, everybody has something to protect. Paperwork, documents, trusts, wills.
You know, family heirlooms.
They do. My wife and I, we actually got into the safe business 8 years ago back in Arizona. Because our oldest, we wanted to protect what was outside the safe.
Very
interesting. Not as much as what was inside. So our motto is...
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to be here at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins in Kalispell. And then tomorrow, I'm actually going to be set up recording some interviews and catching up with folks at Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls because, of course, tonight is the big kickoff reception, and then tomorrow they have the big Montana Governor's Cup golf tournament for the Montana Chamber of Commerce. Todd O'Hare, President and CEO of the Montana Chamber of Commerce. Great to see you as always, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. And I have to tell you, I love your T-shirt. For those of you that can't see it, which is everybody that's listening, it's a black T-shirt emblazoned with bright white letters, the word coal.
Montana coal. I got this T-shirt last year at the Governor's Cup at Meadow Lake. The Signal Peak guys were there. And this is one of my favorite T-shirts. It's an up-top T-shirt, a Montana company, Butte company, and promoting Montana coal.
You wear it well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, it's my favorite T-shirt. What are you excited about with this year's Governor's Cup?
Well, this is always a big event for us, and it's, you know, we bill it as the biggest business development and business leader networking event in the state. We'll have 700-800 folks here tonight. We've got business leaders that are flying in from all over the country that'll come to Montana once a year, and this is the time of year that they'll come. And so, you know, we'll have folks from Google and Meta, MDU Resources, just as a couple of kind of out-of-state sort of examples of household names a lot of folks recognize, and then a lot of in-state leaders that are going to be here. We expect the governor to be here tonight at the reception, and he'll be joining a couple of golf courses tomorrow, driving the beer cart around, serving folks there. And so it is the premier business networking event of the year. We'll fill up three different golf courses, 85 teams, and most of those teams will have at least one legislator on their team. And so this is a great opportunity for us to be able to get to know each other from all parts of the state of Montana. So it's a big, exciting sort of time.
As you know, deals are brokered. Not, you know, when you get into the conference room and you put ink on paper and sign a deal, that's when you officially finalize it. But deals are brokered at receptions like this. I can tell you firsthand, I remember meeting business leaders who then set up businesses in Lewistown or in Glendive as a result of conversations that take place right here and people connecting here.
Absolutely. And I tell folks that are looking at Montana for investing, bringing their business either from a expansion perspective or relocating to Montana, is that one of the things that you need to know about Montana is we're a relationship state. We know each other. We're friends. We're neighbors. Probably unique amongst all the states in the country is that we're a relationship state. And so this is part of that relationship building, right? We develop these sort of relationships here, to your point, where then this is kind of like the start of where deals get made as folks get to know each other, understand each other. And this brings together like this great collection of business sectors from around the state, you know, from natural resources to retail, to agriculture, to manufacturing, high tech. There's a lot going on here this weekend.
You know, it was even funny. Last year, just being set up at Meadow Lake in Columbia Falls, and I'm chatting with the Signal Peak guys here from Roundup, and then I see Troy Downing over here. I said, hey, here you go. Well, now, Troy is the Eastern District Congressman, and they're getting legislation across the finish line, included in this big, beautiful bill, to back Montana coal. And so it's fun to just see things like that happen, connections like that happen. On the political front, business front, frankly, I mean, Montana continues to rock and roll. I think we're on four straight years now of unemployment numbers around 3%. We just had the big VACOM announcement in Lewistown. So I guess just the state of business in Montana, how do you see things right now?
Well, Montana's been discovered, and, we're thankful for that. You know, and there are some pain and suffering that comes along with that, right? And we're seeing that. We're witnessing that in the sense that, you know, we've got high housing prices and high land values. And I like to try to tell folks, it's like, look, there's some pain that comes with a state that is growing. And this is a different problem that we've had here within the last 4 to 6 years than the problem that we had for years before that, where we had a declining population. And I can tell you right now that if you want to see an economy grow and you want to see an economy thrive, the population is going to have to grow with it. And so we have some pinch points that we're experiencing right now. Those of us that are natives and those of us that are relatively new to the state, we may not be totally comfortable with some of the changes that we're seeing. You know, it's harder to get across town in Kalispell. It's harder to get, you know, through Bozeman and Missoula and some of those areas, right? And so we're seeing some of those sort of uncomfortableness throughout the state of Montana. But it is a result of the fact that we're successful in the state. We're seeing some growth in the state.
And so as a result, I know you guys did a poll a while back to try to gauge where Montanans stand, but you're really trying to look at shifting away from a property tax-based system and how we do that, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, this last legislative session, I think, proved beyond a doubt that we have to look at our tax system in Montana. And Montana's tax system has historically been a three-legged stool: property taxes, income taxes, and natural resource taxes. And you take a look at what is happening, particularly in the natural resource industry, we're seeing that industry decline. And it has declined for a number of years. Since 1990 until last year, the state of Montana lost 36 major sawmills.
But Trump just
didn't he just have a...
Yeah, well, new roadless initiative. You know, President Trump is working to reverse that. Right. It's going to take some time, though, right?
It's going to take some time. And I think the other thing that we've got to be realistic about is that the barrier to entry for some of these sort of big industrial sort of properties is very high. It's really difficult. And so I think that, you know, some of the sort of stuff that Trump has done, President Trump has done on some of this front, is going to be helpful for our remaining sort of industries. I don't know if it's realistic for us to expect that we're going to see a big resurgence of new sawmills rolling into the state.
So what do we do in the meantime? I know one of the things, Todd, you're talking about is you guys kind of opened the door to a potential sales tax before, but now you're thinking you're going to aggressively look at doing just that very thing. Todd, if you can stand by, we'll come back to you right after the break. Todd O'Hare, President and CEO of the Montana Chamber of Commerce. And then we got several great guests out in the audience that are going to join us on the microphone here as well.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, Todd O'Hare, thanks for sticking around. I know I was going to try to let you roll out for the Governor's Cup here, but you know, we had to run to that last break there, but basically you guys are really looking at aggressively pushing a pivot to a sales tax for Montana to try to somehow wean us off of the ever-escalating property taxes. I know it didn't poll too well when you polled it a few years ago. Do you think with an aggressive campaign, Montana's views would change on that front?
I think it's something that we have to put on the table. And the problem that we're facing in Montana right now is that we have a three-legged stool of taxation that funds government. Income, property, and natural resources taxes. That funds government. And that third leg, that natural resource leg, is getting shorter. Now, until we decide that we want to figure out a different sort of tax scheme in the state of Montana, the only way that you're going to be able to see property tax relief for one class of property taxpayers is you're going to have to raise property taxes on another class of property taxpayers. That's the only way to do it. And as this natural resource base has shrunk over the last 20, 30 years, that squeeze is coming on the residents and the remaining businesses that are in the state of Montana.
Right.
And so I think we need to have an honest adult conversation about what Montana's economy is today versus what it was in 1965, and what's this economy going to look like in 2035? Where is, you know, to use a hockey analogy, where's the puck headed? And Montana's economy is increasingly a professional services economy and a recreational sort of an economy.
And hopefully we revitalize that timber industry. We
Absolutely.
Revitalize that natural resource industry. But that's going to take some time. Todd, I got to laugh just a little bit here. I'm up here. I'm standing up. I'm stretching out my back after the seven-hour drive yesterday. Your son is doing a great job out on the rodeo circuit. I watch these rodeos, and I see these guys riding these bucking broncs, and I just think, ow, ow, ow. But your son is just killing it out there on the rodeo circuit.
I couldn't be more proud of my kids and my son. He's 19 years old, and he's making a run at the pro rodeo, right, riding saddle bronc. He's in Great Falls tonight, getting on a bucking horse in Great Falls tonight. He's going to be on a bucking horse in Sydney, Montana tomorrow night, and then he's making the trek from Sydney to, I think, to Sandpoint, Idaho, where he's going to get on a bucking horse Saturday night in Sandpoint. So he's living his dream, and I'm encouraging him, and I couldn't be more excited.
Well, that's a ton of fun. Well, we're excited to see everybody in town for the Governor's Cup as well. Todd O'Hare, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for having us be a part of the Governor's Cup as well.
Thanks for being here, Aaron.
All right, great to see you. Yeah, I'll be set up at Meadow Lake Golf Course tomorrow, and I think the Governor's going to stop by and say hi. I know a number of other folks are going to stop by. If there's any legislators that are driving to the Flathead right now, come see me at Meadow Lake tomorrow, and we can even record an interview that I can play on the show next week as well. Microphones are open for you. If you're listening to KJJR right now and you want to come down and join us at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins, we've got microphones open for you. Stu in Marion, great to see you. Great to see you in person.
Oh,
Stu,
it's good to be with you, Aaron. Thank you so much for hosting this little event this morning.
Well, big thanks to Eric Maldonado and then Kyle and Matt and, of course, Steve Rice here at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins, but everybody at B Broadcast.
Well,
a ton of fun.
Just to give you a plug, I tell you, I have so much enjoyed this Montana Talks Radio since I've lived in Montana and born and raised in radio. And you guys do such a good job at pulling in a lot of people that give us a lot of information, which to me, there needs to be a sign in every entrance into Montana. If you want to know what's going on in Montana, tune in to Montana Talks.
That's the fun, is that, hey, if we forget to cover it, people call in, they'll put it on our radar. In fact, I'm getting some great messages right now. Eric Maldonado, I'm getting great messages about these Byrna guns. And how good they are for schools in particular as well. So we'll get to that here in a second. But, you know, to his point, I had a military guy, Tampa, Florida, and he's like, hey, when I retire, I want to move to Montana. But I want to know what people in Montana are talking about, you know, because, you know, he's a military guy. And, he wants to know, hey, do these people see the world like I see the world? So he would go for runs on MacDill Air Force Base and listen in to Montana Talks. How cool is that?
Well, yeah, we stream on KJGR. Last year, our streaming signal, we had 1.1 million downloads last year. From 880 KJGR, and not just in Montana. I mean, it was not just nationwide, but worldwide. So, I mean, heard all over the world.
I remember when we had a bunch of Montana National Guardsmen on another deployment in the Middle East. There were guys, you know, in hangars working on aircraft, listening to the show on our various radio station apps, and then sending us messages. It was so cool. So, Stu, what do you think people across Montana need to know? What's the topic you want to sound off on?
Well, I just would like to say that, first of all, we know that Montana natives vote less. And the statistics are out there. About 40% of native Montanans aren't even registered to vote. So ever since I've been in this town, one of the things that I've kind of focused in on is just trying to get people to register to vote. And the newcomers that come in town as well. You'd be surprised. You set up a table somewhere, you'd be surprised how many adults come up and register to vote for the first time in Montana. Well, I sat for many years and listened. And as you listen to things that are going on, you develop an anxiety of what's happening in our world. How do I get involved in the politics? How do I get involved in talking to somebody? You know, there's a lot of empty phone calls when you try to call a legislator or something like that to get some information out. So I got involved with AFP. And I just want to tell you, Americans for Prosperity here locally.
They're doing great things.
They're doing a great job. And this is your neighbors. You know, we did a big call bank last year, knocked on a lot of doors. A lot of people don't receive it well. I just want to tell you that the people that I go and volunteer with, if AFP right here in the Flathead Valley, these are all your neighbors. These are local business people. These are locals who love the Flathead Valley. And they want things to happen that are good and right and upstanding. If we don't get people of integrity serving in our legislature, serving in our local government, serving in our national government, we are never going to have a great country.
Got to have people step up.
We are tired of corruption.
Plant that flag.
When I talk to 25 and 30-year-olds in this town, every one of them say, what's the use? What's the use? What's my vote going to do?
By the way, speaking of AFP Montana, I see Josh Carl back there. Great guy. We did a bunch of events right here in the Flathead last year. We had such a great time.
I knew. You came to my house.
You did.
You knocked on my. You asked me how I was going to vote, and I said, "Well, I'm going to vote the way Aaron tells me to vote."
Yeah, that's right. Hey, but Eric Maldonado, to Stu's point here, though, is like, think about even the people that are registered to vote. Think about all these people. Even many of our listeners. Come on, be honest, people. You got all whipped up into frenzy to get out and vote for Donald J. Trump and J.D. Vance last November, and to give John Tester the boot. But we got midterm elections next year. How many people are just going to sit back show up next year?
Oh, my gosh. The statistics, when you look at a midterm election and how many people show up versus how many show up for, you know, the major election, it is so vastly different. It's unbelievable. You know, 7,000-8,000 people a couple years ago for our midterm election just here in the Flathead Valley. We got like 40,000 voters here, registered voters. Come on. This can't be. So this is the thing.
And Flathead County is very close to overtaking Missoula County very soon. So when you talk about population and demographics and eventual voting trends and what that means on a political standpoint, look at what just happened in Missoula. They just raised property taxes again by another 7%. down in Missoula, and I know, you know, on the contrast, the Republican county commissioners in the Flathead have been working to try to minimize any increases. Yes. Well, Stu, great to see you as well. Thanks for stepping up to the microphone.
I encourage everybody, volunteer for AFP. It's an okay organization.
And Josh is Josh and the crew here.
Dedicated guy.
Fun team. Hey, speaking of AFP Montana, there's Jesse Ramos, the state director for AFP Montana, a Libby Montana kid. We'll get him on the microphone here in a second. Okay, Stu, good to see you. We're going to pass the microphone to that gentleman right behind you there. It looks like a good Air Force veteran, if I'm reading right on the T-shirt he's got there and everything like that. So we're going to get him on the microphone. All right, Eric Maldonado is going to get him all fixed up. And, of course, Francis and Big Fork is here holding court as well. It's fun to see Francis. One of the coolest people we got to meet today is Lauren Bergman. Lauren Bergman is Lauren the Lumberjill. Man, tell you what, if you guys missed it, you're going to have to go to our Montana Talks podcast, or maybe I'll get something on our website. But she just set a world record in this basically lumberjack competition, and it was really cool. I meant to get a photo of me with her axe, but I was too busy focused on getting ready for the radio show here. All right, well, sir, tell me your name again. I know I just got to meet you a few minutes ago.
Aaron, my name's David Robinette, and this is the first time I've seen you since one of the Reagan-Lincoln dinners.
Yeah, which one was that?
A couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah, betcha.
Was that when we had, what's his name out of Texas? Louis Gohmert. Was that when Louis Gohmert was that?
Nope.
Okay.
I missed a good opportunity there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good to see you. What's on your mind this morning? The microphone is yours.
What was that gentleman sitting over here in the middle talking about
voting?
That was
voting? Stu. Yeah, yeah.
My thought is to go to Zinke and Baines and Sheehy to hold town hall meetings to say all the good things that the Republicans and the Donald has done in the last 6 months, because the Democrats and major media are not going to say a thing. They're just kind of quiet. So that's about all I have to say, Aaron.
That's a really good point. Come out here. Come to the VFW halls. Come to the Legion halls. Come to places.
You
tell everybody about everything that's in that big, beautiful bill. And so, I mean, there's so much in that. But usually these bills, the more you find out about them after the fact, you find out about all the bad stuff that was. This, the more you find out about, the more cool stuff you found out was in the big, beautiful bill.
Well, I'm sure the folks at VFW here in Kalispell would love to hear any of the gentlemen come in and
just give a rundown.
Give us the word.
Yeah, the first 6 months of Donald J. Trump. Yeah, because what a record it has been.
It's fantastic.
Great idea. Well, great to see you. Thanks for stepping up to the microphone. Quick break. I'm going to go shoot this Burna, and then we'll talk about it after the break. Here
You'll
we go.
Love it.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service will no longer conduct National Environmental Policy Act or NEPA reviews when granting unregulated article status to genetically engineered seeds, allowing them to be sold freely across state lines. APHIS regulates GE organisms and can approve seeds as unregulated if they pose no greater pest risk than similar plants. Previously, APHIS also reviewed environmental impacts under NEPA, but a recent Supreme Court ruling found agencies aren't required to conduct such reviews when they lack statutory authority to weigh environmental impacts. The change is expected to speed up the approval of new GE seeds. In other news, about 8.2% of the global population, or roughly 673 million people, faced hunger in 2024, down 8.5% in 2023 and 8.7% in 2022. That's according to the UN's State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World Report. The decline, about 15 million fewer people than 2023, was uneven, with hunger still rising in much of Africa and Western Asia, but improving in regions like Southern Asia and Latin America. Despite progress, hunger remains above pre-COVID levels due to high food inflation. In addition, an estimated 512 million people could still be chronically undernourished by the year 2030. I'm Wayne Nordblond.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here. Yeah, I just took advantage of that quick break there to go take my first shot with the Burna gun. And Eric Maldonado, man, that thing, I was amazed how light it is. it makes a popping sound, but I was telling Steve Rice here, it doesn't sound like it's right next to your ear. It sounds like it's further down the hall, basically.
Yeah. And just as we started getting on here, Francis was shooting it to prove that literally no matter how old you are, you can defend yourself with a burner projectors.
Well, we knew Frances and Big Fork was pretty good with guns anyway. You know, she grew up in Plentywood. She's over there with her walker, and after I shot, she says, well, I want to try that too. And so she gets up from her walker, and all of a sudden, pop, right there. And I'll guarantee she was probably a better shot than me on that one. But yeah, that was a ton of fun. I told Steve we'll have to get him back over here to talk about this whole Byrna. You know, it's a non-lethal device, basically, so you can take down your target, take down a threat without taking out
the threat. And like I said, I bought for that very reason. I bought two for our church. I mean, unfortunately, there are people out there that want to do things to people that congregate, and you know, we got to protect people.
In fact, actually, while we're thinking of it, hey, Steve, yeah, throw the headset on right now. Let's just talk about it right now since we just got done. So we had, you know, like a 4-minute break there, and so here at Mountain Pass Safes and Coins on Highway 2 in Kalispell, so you've got like a target set up, and it felt just like, you know, well, it didn't feel like my Glock because it's a lot lighter than a normal pistol, but it felt like a toy gun. It has these little orange balls in the magazine. You slap the magazine in. You got a red dot, and you pull the trigger, and you hardly even hear a thing. You don't even really feel a thing either. No recoil, really, at all.
Right, right. There's absolutely no recoil. It's just the popping noise of the CO2. That's it. The compact edition came out for more sleek concealment options for it, but they sped it up because it's only shooting a 61 caliber bullet, but they sped it up to about 400 feet per second.
And so, you know, the idea is like, okay, you're walking downtown, you got some transient, maybe on drugs, maybe who knows what, you don't want to kill somebody, but you need to be able to defend yourself. That's part of the idea behind this whole Byrna non-lethal system, right?
Exactly. You've got the kinetic rounds, which will, when it hits you, it's going to welt. I mean, really bad. One guy got hit with it, couldn't move his hand for 45 minutes. But you add the pepper into that, the pepper will create a 3 to 5 foot smoke, cloud of dust there. So as long as you're close to them, they get that pepper and tear gas in their face. That's going to put a person down for about 30 to 45 minutes.
Interesting. And I got a note from Tim and Savage out on the Montana-North Dakota border. He does a lot of work with schools and things like that. But he says the Byrna guns are also a great option for school for many reasons, including the fact that your workers' comp insurance doesn't blow up. And he told me this, too. He says, for security reasons, I won't say where, but I know schools that do have these, that are using these. And then Elias in Belgrade earlier this morning sent us a message on the Montana Talks app and said this: you might want to pass on that Byrna is also willing to give launchers for free to schools. So I think Byrna is willing to do deals with schools as well to help them at least try these things out first. So,
yeah, I'm working with Kyla and Marion schools right now on it. I have reached out to Kalispell, but anybody listening from Kalispell, give me a call, because I have reached out to them, and I've been starting to reach out to a lot of churches too in town. It's a sad world that that's something we have to look at doing, but that's the nature of the fact. And being non-lethal, get a couple of those pepper rounds in, and it's going to take the will of fight of anybody out of them once they get that pepper in their face.
Yeah, Eric Maldonado, you were saying you did that very thing for your church.
Yeah, absolutely. Church, you know, after, what was it, nationally, we had one in Atlanta, a church get attacked, and then we had one prior to that, I think, in Texas. After that, I came right in, and actually, I was talking about setting up for your this event today, and when he said he had the Byrna, I said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger. So I went to the board of directors of the church to make sure that they were comfortable, and after watching the videos of that Byrna has online, they were like, yeah, you know, it's probably a pretty smart thing.
Yeah, well, and you know, like, we've talked with Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter a lot, because he's just huge about, you know, thinking out the box for school security, because, you know, Cascade County, he's got, you know, big schools in Great Falls and a bunch of rural schools where backup is far, far away. And so, but the way they're integrating security cameras into a quick alert system, to where you have somebody approaching that you think is a threat, you can press a button and alert local law enforcement, but also have somebody there with a gun or a non-lethal device like this to be able to immediately respond while you await on the first responders, but you need the immediate responders there. To tackle the threat initially.
To initially take it. And you don't have to worry about it penetrating walls, especially in a school. You know, that's one big thing about it, is that it can just launch a couple balls down the hallway into a room where the perpetrator may be and get out of the situation, be able to remove yourself, but put them in a position where they just don't want to fight you anymore.
So if people come down here, they can, here to Mountain Pass Safes and Coins, they can try the burner just like Francis and I just did?
Yep. We've got the door in-store demos right here. We'll train you how to use it, get you up and started. So when you walk out of here, I've had people actually come in and be like, I've never shot a pistol before. I don't even know what to do. But by the time they leave the store, I want them to feel comfortable enough that they're ready to use it if they needed to.
Yeah, that's great. Now, we know Francis is good with guns, but at the moment I finished firing the burner, Frances said, I want to do that now too. She just stood up right out of the walker, pat, pat, and target down. Target
I think she
down.
Hit him right in the head.
I think so, yeah. Don't mess with Frances Bigfoot. That's the continued lesson here on Montana Talks. Well, Steve, great to see you. Thanks so much for hosting us here this morning, and that was a ton of fun. Thanks for letting me give it a shot.
Anytime. And yeah, anybody listening, come on down. We'll teach you how to use them, demo them right here in the store.
Oh, and they're doing a raffle too. Because you also sell gold here, right?
Yes.
And you've got these gold maple leaves?
Silver maple leaves.
Silver maple leaves.
So we have a tube of silver maple leaves. If you're in the Kalispell area, you have to come in locally. But we're doing $20 a ticket. We have just about 22 tickets left, so we're only selling 50 total tickets. But for $20, you can win a full tube of silver maple leaves. And that's worth over $1,000 right now.
Right.
Even with silver coming down a little bit, it's still over $1,000
value. Still over $1,000. So there you go.
Come on in. As soon as the tickets are sold, we're drawing the winner.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again for hosting us, having a great time here. Appreciate your time. Jesse Ramos, Americans for Prosperity, Montana. It was fun. I put a story on our Montana Talks website that I was, going to be here for the Governor's Cup. And so, Jesse, yeah, great to see you. You're in town for the Governor's Cup.
Yeah, long time no see.
There we go. There, I got your mic on now. All right.
That's probably better for the audience if it's down.
Yeah. There's no video, so.
Thank God.
They don't have to see us.
Your ratings would drop.
Yeah, well, big time. They'd pull us off the air.
That'd be terrible. I have a face for radio, for sure.
I don't even have that, so you're ahead of me on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have good genes?
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Sydney Sweeney thing. Oh, my goodness. We could talk for an hour about that one. This is funny, Jesse. Are you on X from time to time?
Oh, yeah.
I really, if I wasn't driving across the state yesterday, I was going to post a note on X. Because the liberals are all now taking shots at my wife, Jessica. And I'm just laughing because they're just a bunch. You know, it's like the clown car of left-wing groups. That are out there. But anyway, I was gonna do a post on X. First, they attack Sydney Sweeney. Now they're attacking my wife, Jessica. Why does the left hate beautiful women? You know, it's like, what is wrong with these guys right now? But anyway, the One Big Beautiful Bill. We were talking about how the more we find out about the One Big Beautiful Bill, the more good we find out was tucked into that thing. You guys were a big voice across the nation in getting especially the income tax relief and the other tax relief in there.
Yeah, we were very fortunate to partner with the White House and with Speaker Johnson on helping get that Big Beautiful Bill over the finish line. That was our number one priority because it would have had such devastating consequences that the mainstream media, of course, they didn't cover. They tried to say, oh, this is a tax cut for the rich, yada, yada, yada. They didn't tell people that if it didn't pass, their taxes would have been jacked up by 64% December 31st, and the economy would have tanked. It would have been so hard for folks. So we were honored to play a role in that. And we understand certainly that it was the One Big Beautiful Bill. It wasn't the One Big Perfect Bill. There were some issues in it. But at the end of the day, I think some folks were playing right into the hands of Democrats where this was, at the end of the day, it was a tax bill. It was not a spending bill. We had one chance to really get it over the finish line with reconciliation this year to give the market some stability. And we want to do a rescissions bill. We want to cut spending. But we can do a rescissions bill, Aaron, every single day of the year. And so that's what folks didn't understand is let's focus on the tax bill. Let's let people keep more of their hard-earned money. And then let's do the rescissions bills every single day. We would be all in favor of that. And, of course, we got that big rescissions bill through. And we're looking at doing a few more with the president. president. But at the end of the day, it was just about the taxes. And I think that all the other stuff, you had such a small coalition of folks and a small majority that there were some stuff that we didn't like in it, too. But at the end of the day, the pros far outweighed the cons.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about small business tax relief, our farmers and ranchers, and doing away with the death tax, basically, but also making the Trump tax cuts permanent was huge. I know, everyday folks, you don't even have to be a business owner to see the benefits of for working class folks in this one big, beautiful bill. But there was also American energy, Montana energy in particular, coal provisions that got included in there. When it comes to timber, you know, one of the headlines in the Flathead this week is, here we go again with these radical environmental groups suing to block a logging project near Whitefish. I remember Eric Maldonado, you and I were down the road at Northwest Parks.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, Eric Maldonado, I got so excited there. I lost track of time. I probably talked right over the break, but Caden was taking care of it.
You just said something about the meaning of life, and I'm just, wow.
I know, wasn't that fascinating?
That was awesome.
And everybody missed it. Yeah. Actually, we were talking about, the unleashing Montana energy and American energy and getting back to common sense forest management policies and some of the timber provisions in the big, beautiful bill as well. Well, before we get to our next guest, because we've got microphones open while we're here doing our show live from Mountain Pass Safes and Coins, Jesse Ramos, Americans for Prosperity, Montana. You're a Libby kid. I thought about how, you know, 1 year ago we were doing all these great events here in the Flathead, and then we went to Libby. And, man, I remember all those people that were lined up at that grocery store at like 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday, and it was a beautiful Saturday morning, but that's how badly people were getting hit by inflation, and that's how badly they wanted those grocery store gift cards that we were handing out. And so we need to go back to Libby and do a show and talk about now all the exciting things that are happening under this new administration.
Absolutely, because if you look at Montana over the last 30 years, from bureaucrats in Washington, we have been forced into a tourism economy. Like you said, we have all these natural resources, many of which are being burned to the ground. In the early 2000s, like you said, when I was growing up, Montana was 25th in the country in per capita income. Today, we're 48th. And we are just suffering because those jobs back in the early 2000s, they paid the equivalent. People could get them right out of high school. You could raise a family on a single income. You could have a stay-at-home mom. You could own your own home. You were making $90,000 in today's equivalent. And today in the tourism industry and everything else, it's $30,000 is the average wage in the tourism economy. Where I'm from, Missoula, the local governments are forcing people into that. They're forcing us into these low-paying jobs. They're giving these businesses millions of dollars in the tourism business of our tax dollars, and at the same time penalizing anybody that wants to try and provide breadwinner jobs in the logging and mining industry.
And if we make our timber industry great again, we get those mines up and running near Libby, you're not going to see 40 people lined up to get a grocery store gift card. They'll be out having fun with their campers and enjoying the weekend with their families.
And
you know?
And it's all in the name of environmentalism, which I find rich, that people like AOC, who I was in New York a couple of years ago, you look at the Hudson River. I wouldn't jump in that if it was the last river in the world.
If you were on fire.
I wouldn't jump into that. And she and Chuck Schumer and all these people are lecturing us here in Montana that we can't have these jobs because we don't care about the environment. It's like, have you looked out the window here in Montana? Oh. Don't lecture me about the environment here in Montana and say that we don't care about it.
Preach, you don't get the brother. Well, the other thing in Montana that's really nobody brings up is this no tax on overtime. I mean, there's a lot of Montanans that have to work those extra hours. And like my wife, she works 15 extra minutes at her job. She loses money.
Craig from Kyla just dropped in to say hi. And I was like, what do you do for work? He says, well, I'm in construction, but I'm also a volunteer firefighter, and I'm also a logger. And that's so many Montanans that wear multiple hats. I want to bring in Dr. Gary. Is it Petro?
Petro.
Dr. Gary Petro here as well. All right. Hey, great to see you, doctor. You dropped by a book here, intentional health, your best chance for aging well and avoiding chronic health conditions. Well, doctor, thanks for popping in here. It sounds like this is could be part of the MAHA, the Make America Healthy Again agenda, huh?
Yeah, I wrote it a number of years ago because we are in a healthcare crisis. Okay, and looking, sitting here looking at the back of your computer, you have a label that says "Stay Healthy." Okay, I love it. Okay, because most people don't realize that they have a lot more control of their health than what they really do. Okay? The reason I say we're in a healthcare crisis, over 60% of the people have at least one chronic health disease, and 40% of kids under the age of 5. Okay, that is totally unacceptable. What I find is a lot of people don't know how to improve their health because they go in and they have a condition, and then the first response is, what medication do we have? Instead of, what do you need to do to allow your body to heal and take care of it?
I was going to say, another sticker that I have there is from my friends at the Western Ag Network, and it says, eat beef and lamb because the West wasn't one on salad. How much is eating beef and eating good protein sources so key to, you know, avoiding these chronic health conditions?
Absolutely. Protein, you realize when people are in intensive care, protein is one of the most important things they have to heal their body.
Good point. Yeah, you didn't even think about it from a healing standpoint, and much less the health, the diet, maintaining muscle mass and everything like that. And so many things that we've been lectured and told by our own government that are bad for you that we're now finding out actually those are good for you. I mean, all in moderation, right?
That's absolutely true. And again, most people don't know what to do with it, okay? Because they hear so many different competing voices for what is healthy. And really, everybody's different. We're all genetically put together differently, and so there's a different blueprint for each person to get back to where they want it, where they feel they should be feeling.
All right. Well, Dr. Gary Petro,
yes,
here in the Flathead Valley, you've actually got a good medicine, functional health in Whitefish.
That's correct.
And he's got this book, Intentional Health. Great to see you. Thanks so much for coming back and joining us on the microphone.
Thanks, Aaron. Really appreciate it.
All right. Hey, we're out of time for today, but tomorrow I'm going to be set up at Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls. So if there's any legislators or other folks that are coming up for the Governor's Cup, come see me before you tee off at Meadow Lake tomorrow. I'll be there from about 7 to 10 a.m. recording interviews. And then John Jackson will be manning the fort back in the studio. So you'll have some fun on Friday. And then I'll be sharing some of my interviews for the show tomorrow as well. All right. Big thanks to our host.
Hi.